Psalm 103, 1 through 5. This ought to be one of the scriptures you know. It ought to be something that you have a daily occurrence of, a constant vigil at. And when the Bible says meditate on the word day and night, that word meditate there in that scripture says that we're to mutter it. It's to be a constant verbiage. And some would use examples like a calf chewing its cud. You know how a calf or an animal will just chew constantly over something they've eaten, and they just constantly get all the nutrition and all the nutrients out of whatever they have eaten, and just regurgitate it over and over and over again until everything and every nugget has been exhausted within it. And so here we are with this scripture, and this is one of them that you need to know. You need to understand. You need to have a depth of understanding in, because there's a lot of there's a lot of contradiction in Christianity. There's a lot of things that are said that are just, you know, that are hard for me to embrace at all. I can't. I've already, my light has come, and I've been enlightened by the lamp of the Holy Spirit, and the words come and illuminated to me. And when I hear people say things, I just instantly reject dumb things. You know, I hear things like, see, people say God turns the heat up on us. Well, God doesn't turn the heat on us unless we're cold. Amen. That was the devil that does that. That goes back to the fiery furnace, and they made the fiery furnace hotter. And, you know, but God doesn't make life harder and hotter. God makes life easier and better. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. Somebody ought to shout out amen. God has a light yoke, a light burden. He's not trying to make life harder. He's trying to make life better. If you have a hard life right now, you know, you're singing that song, it's a hard luck life. You don't have to sing that anymore. Amen. This isn't gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Amen. This is God came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to have a good life. Amen. We grow our faith. Let me tell you how we grow faith. There's really, you don't pray for faith. You don't ask God to increase your faith. You go to the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Amen. There are people that they don't have enough Word. We're destroyed. Yes. We are destroyed. People. He said, my people, ultimately. This is the bottom line. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That's why we're destroyed. Today, you're sitting in this room. If you're being buffeted, attacked, if you're going through it and the devil's chasing you around all over the place, and you just feel like you're under instead of over, it's because you don't have the information necessary to be over. The Bible clearly tells us that if I have the knowledge, if I have the information, then I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be over the top. Look, when you're dealing with people at work and you're standing in struggles at work, the Bible says, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Today, your fight isn't against a human being standing next to you in a cubicle. It's not somebody next to you at the water cooler. It's not your wife. It's not your husband standing in the house not doing what they ought to be doing. It's the devil. Amen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight a carnal war. We don't fight a sense war. We don't fight a war. So today you're sitting there, and the church world has, over the years, confused so many. Listen to me. If you're fighting and you're struggling, you're not struggling with God. God's not bearing. You're not bearing up under the weight of God. You're not dealing with God's pressure. God doesn't bring pressure. He brings pleasure.
Yes. Amen.
At His hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't ever think that pressure comes from God. God didn't bring your pressure. He's not turning the heat up on you. And you're not to be praying for more faith. You're not going to get more faith because you prayed for more faith. You're only going to get faith because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, faith rises in your heart. When you hear the Word of God on your condition, on your circumstances, faith rises and continues to grow. The level of your faith will increase. Then you can exercise your faith. You can strengthen your faith by exercising your faith. Something I said earlier about believing God for little things. You know, if you haven't started on a 20, don't go to a million. You know, if you don't have $20 faith, there's a good chance you're probably not going to have $1 million faith. And if you did get $1 million and went and bought a Lamborghini, you probably wouldn't have the money for the tires. Come on, you grow into these things. The Bible says we grow in faith. We grow in God. We grow in the mercies of the Lord. We're growing. People immediately want to jump on the bandwagon and go all to these levels of life. And God may do a miraculous work in you. He sees the future. I don't. He knows the future. I don't know the future. And there may be some path that God has for you that may circumvent all of that. But I've learned from glory to glory, He changes me. And that every day I'm better than I was yesterday. That every day. But God wants me to grow. Today should not be my tomorrow. Amen. And my tomorrow should not be my next day. Amen. I'm not living in the past. I'm living in the now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And by it, somebody say by it. By faith. My people, the Bible says, are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Amen. What you're going through is not because you don't have enough faith. Yes. You need more faith, and our faith must increase. Every one of us must desire more faith. But the Bible clearly says that faith comes by hearing, and that by hearing the word of God, my knowledge about God in every instance, in every aspect of my life will increase. And as my knowledge of God increases, as I grow in God, then I become able to overcome the fiery darts of the wicked one. He said we have the shield of faith, thereby we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Get out of these traditions that tell us stupid stuff. Amen, that somehow God's doing all this to us, and this is the method of God's teaching. The Bible says, His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am the Son of God. How does God speak to me? He speaks to me. Now the hour cometh, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He talks to us by His Spirit. He talks to us through His Word. He uses other men of God and things to speak into our lives through the gifts of the Spirit. But He speaks to us by His Spirit and by His Word, because God is not a flesh. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God is not a flesh. He's a spirit. Therefore, He does not deal with me flesh to flesh. Yes. He does not deal with me through experience. If He did, then your experience and my... You, matter of fact, you can't base doctrines on experiences. You cannot base a doctrine on your experiences. You may have experiences. You may have them in your life. But you can't go to seed on those experiences as if they're doctrine. I don't know if anybody got what I was saying. You know, there are a lot of people that have done this. They got it. They had an experience with God. And then all of a sudden they formed a doctrine around their experience. But that's not how it works. We form our doctrine, and then we allow for things to happen that may be out of our understanding. How many understand? There are things that happen that are out of our understanding. Yes. Amen. Anyway, this scripture that you're going into today ought to tell you everything you need to know about what God has for you. Now, my first job had benefits. The job that we have here at Family Worship Center, if you work here at the church, you will have benefits. Well, the initial thing that you have is a job and a paycheck. Many of us have jobs and paychecks. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, you don't have a job if you don't have a paycheck. Nobody's shouting on that. But people say, I go to work every day. If you ain't getting paid, you ain't going to work every day. You volunteering. Amen. Jobs have paychecks. Now, when we came to Jesus, I am blessed. How many understand what I'm saying? There is a benefit. God pays me. Amen. We've been bought with a price. Look at somebody and say, you were paid for. You were paid for. So we've been bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our bodies, which is our natural service, our reasonable service. We're supposed to do these things. And so here's the point, is that in God, we didn't sign up for something that doesn't have a blessing on the end of it. Amen. So it's not going to be worse. When you get saved, it's not going to get worse. It's going to get better. Life is going to get better. I've seen people that didn't give their heart to Jesus because they thought they were going to lose something. They thought they would lose friends, or they thought they would lose money, or they thought they would lose an environment of life. But God doesn't want to take anything. He's not interested in you becoming broke to get saved. As a matter of fact, he wants to see you. He said, the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto. Your education doesn't have to be abandoned because you get saved. As a matter of fact, he said, he that seeketh after knowledge gains wisdom. There's knowledge and wisdom God wants you to have. He says, he that intermeddleth and seeketh after all wisdom. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to intermeddle and seek after wisdom and knowledge. God doesn't want to take that away from you. As a matter of fact, he'll help you in your endeavors at school. He'll bring back to your remembrance the things that you have studied. Amen. You'll do better. You can do better. If you're an athlete, God doesn't want to take your athletics away. He wants to use your athletics. He wants to use the legs and the feet and the arms and the hands and all the skill that he gave you. This is a benefit to your life. And so here in this scripture, Psalm 103, 1 through 5, it says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, how many know when you find this out, if you really find out what I'm talking about, you're going to find out you can shout about this. There's a shout that comes from knowing. That's why it says, starts off with, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because I'm telling you, when you're blessed by God, when you receive salvation, when you receive the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and adds no sorrow to, there should be a hop, a skip, and a jump in your step. He said, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. There ought to be a song. Every born-again believer has a song. You ought to be walking around with melody in your heart. If you've been saved, there's a song welling up on the inside of you. I was riding over here on the way to church this morning, and as I'm coming down the road, I just started singing that song that we sang this morning. It just welled up on the inside of me. All of a sudden, my car was filled with my kids all singing with me the same song, and we're singing in a chorus all the way to church. Hallelujah. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. You're unchangeable. That's who you are. Woo! My whole car got filled with an unshakable, unstoppable, unchangeable God, because when I begin to worship in that car, the aroma of his presence flooded that car. Glory to God. I just couldn't wait to get to the house of God, because I knew when I got here, God's got something for me today. God's going to elevate my thinking today. God's going to lift me up today. God's going to touch my body today. God's going to clear up my thinking today. God's going to heal me. God's going to bless me. I'm going to walk out of this place, and when I do, the blessings of the Lord are going to follow me. They're going to come upon me and overtake me. I think everybody in here ought to shout out real loud, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
You got to get with me this morning. When I start preaching and I get a little hooping going, you ought to get a little preaching and hoop going too. Somebody ought to shout out amen. You know, if you'll join in the sermon, you'll get more out of the sermon. I just tell you right now, try it out. Just say amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Don't sit idle. Don't sit by. We used to, when I was growing up, I grew up in these old-timey churches. And they used to have what they called the anxious seat. And they would leave the two or three rows up at the front empty. See, we got to add more back rows because everybody goes back there anyway. But they used to leave the front. They used to have the anxious seat. And when you would get to preaching real good, if you hit somebody, they had to leave the seat in the back and come sit on the front. So you get to preaching and people be leaving their seats back there. I mean, you talk about some, they talk about stuff. And today you talk about anything, everybody's leaving. They all getting mad. Back when I was growing up, you talked about something that you were in. Somebody be talking about adultery. People be walking in front of the whole church and be, shut that out of my, and they be going pray. And these people be like, that preacher, preach harder. And you need to get out of that woman's house. You need to get saved. You need to get, ain't nobody got mad and run out the house of God. He was preaching at me. Today, everybody's so touchy, you can't say nothing. Everybody's running out the door. Oh, I can't believe Sunday he preached at me. Who am I supposed to preach at? Just exactly who am I supposed to talk to? Yes, I'm preaching to you. You need to hear what I got to say. I spent all week getting ready. It all touchy, offended.
That's good. Good. Amen.
If God's really in the house, he's going to speak to you.
Yes.
He'll leap over 1,000 people just to come to your door. Glory to God. Thank God he loves me. He knows where I'm at. He knows I'm sitting in this church. And one word could set me free today. Glory to God.
Amen.
I shouldn't be yelling like this. This might scare folk. Like all he does is yell. I can't help it. I get to talking about the things of God when I think of his goodness. Ooh, and what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness and how he set me free. I want to shout, 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 shout. Oh, all night. Oh. See, I've been up in Pentecostal land. I'm just telling you. And then I've been running and jumping and hooping and hollering. I'm ready to run, jump, hoop, and holler.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
amen.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be scared today. It's in the Bible.
That's good.
Glory to God. Bless the Lord. That word soul there is not the word spirit. It's meant to be there. It means with my mind, my will, and my emotions. With my mind, my will, and my emotions. We have been conditioned in the church that if the organist hits the right note and the drummer hits the right beat, that we're going to get up and shout. That's when I can... That's about as white as you can get, brother. That's just, you can't get no more white than that. Did you see that? That's a white man trying to dance. That's terrible. It just looked bad, didn't it? Don't even try. You know what I'm saying? This is where I'm at right here. The hands right here. That's it. That's all you get. That's it right there. Yeah. I'm styling right there. That's it. Yeah. Don't get them up here. Don't do none of this. Just... And then bite your lip every once in a while. I'm going to take lessons one day. That's what I need. I need dancing lessons. It's with our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. It is a decision. It's not a movement. It's a decision. Some people wait. They're waiting on the clouds to part. They're waiting on the ceiling to split open. They don't understand. They look around. They see somebody and think, why? What's wrong with them? Why are they leaping and jumping? What's the deal? I mean, does it really require all of that? Is that really necessary? You don't know where they came from. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know where they've been. What's sad is when you have the other testimony where you got everything just right and all is good and all is well. And you don't have any of that stuff going on in your life. You don't have the mess and the mayhem. And you haven't understood that it took just as much of Jesus' blood to save you. It took just as much grace in your life as it did the streetwalker. It takes just as much power. You don't have the right to sit there and act like you were so good that you had salvation before you had salvation. You couldn't go to heaven without Jesus. You're just as dirty as the rest of us. You've been through the same grunge and the same grind I've been through. I just realize where I've been. I realize where he brought me from. I know that without him, I could do nothing. I gotta have him. I love him for he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I love him, this Jesus you see. This Jesus. Oh, the Nazarene. Every one of us should realize out of our soul to bless God and all that is within me. that there ought to be a welling up on the inside of you, that you should realize, just bury your pride. Forget who's sitting next to you. You know what your kids need to see? If you've got your children in church with you today, and hopefully they're across the street because they're doing it over there, I guarantee you they're shouting and dancing over there. You know, when I had my kids, I put them in front of the TV and I'd turn on Disney. And they'd get out there with their little guitars and dancing on Disney or whatever the song would come on. And you know them little kids didn't know nothing. They'd be like, you got to train that out of them. You got to train worship out of yourself. You're training praise out of yourself. You're controlling what God says. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. It gets a little harder when you get older. Because after I praise a little while, I got to go to the bathroom. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody wants to admit it. Amen. And I'm not willing to wear them diapers to church. I'm just telling you. I'm just not willing to do it. But I still need to praise him. I've still got to bless him. I've still got to jump. I've still got to leap. I might need a designated runner now. Some of these younger folks. But let everything that has breath and all that is within me. When did we get so dignified that we couldn't praise God in the house of God? When did we get to the point that our church was so sophisticated that all we had to do was have the people on the platform jump and we don't have to jump no more? Yes. At what point did technology become so important that my worship ended? Bless the Lord! Oh, my soul! Yes. You're here today because God kept you yesterday. You're in this building today because God kept you from every damage and every harm and every disruption and every hurt. Oh, right now somebody ought to be praising. Right now somebody ought to be shouting. I don't mean this to be rough or mean or nasty, but I don't see a bunch of skinny folks sitting in here. Some of y'all got better weight conditions than mine. But I see some folks been eating pretty good. You look like you work out. Pray for me, brother. But the reason you aren't skin and bones and look like a little Ethiopian is because God put food in your refrigerator. God put gas in your car. God kept the teeth in your mouth. You could be sucking it down with a straw. Look at y'all. See, I look at it this way. This is how I look at it. When I go home, I see that everything that I have in my life, only God and God only could have given it to me. I don't shave my head just so I can look at the hair God gave me. Some of y'all don't have a choice. Does anybody get what I'm talking about? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I called my pastor one time. We were going through it, man. The church was a mess. Just a situation had occurred. Young man that I had hired, things went south with him. It was all on me. I have to admit it. I was the problem. He was not. I just was young in the ministry, didn't know much about pastoring. And I was very demanding, a little bit more than I should have been. They were a great couple, wonderful couple to this day. If I could, maybe they'll listen to this message and hear Pastor Steve say, man, I am so sorry that I wasn't a better pastor to you. But I called my pastor and I said, Pastor, he just left an envelope on the table and the key was inside and he just said goodbye. And rightfully so. I mean, I felt like, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm one of these people that look introspectively. I like to see what I've done wrong because I don't want to repeat it. Some folks always denying they're the problem. At some point, you got to realize you are the problem. At some point. Anyway, I called my pastor up. I said, Pastor, I'm in a mess and my heart's hurt, And he said to me, he said, Steve, he said, it's not that we don't have trouble. Now he's got a massive church and well-blessed and ministries all over the world and all this. And so I'm talking to him. He says, and I thought he had no trouble. I did, because it just looks so sweet, you know. And he said to me, he said, Steve, it's not that we don't have problems. It's that we focus on our vision. Changed my life. It changed me. It changed me. We got to focus. See, so many people are focusing on what they don't have. Listen, I have never seen a loaf of bread with two ends. I only see one with two beginnings. Some of y'all that went right over your head. My loaf of bread doesn't have two ends. I don't see a half empty glass. I see a half full glass. We've got to begin to look at our situation and say, what do I have? What has God? This is the entitlement generation. Just everything's owed to everybody. I'm telling you, that's just not true. Not even in God. God doesn't owe you anything. He gave it to you. He gave it to you. He doesn't owe it to you. You don't get it just because he owed it. You have the debt that you couldn't pay. Somebody ought to say amen. I focus on the vision. At what point will we start saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me? He says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. When you sit there today in that seat, you should understand that when you got saved, there were some things that came along with your salvation. And God said, put them in front of you. Remind yourself of them every day. Encourage yourself all the time and in every way. Chew it like cud. Remind yourself. You don't have to be saying, oh God, give me more faith. He said, and forget not. You don't have to cry out to God for things he's already given you. Listen, this is my post for today. Just take this down. We don't have to wait on God for any of the provisions he has already said belong to us. We don't have to wait on God for any of the provisions he has already said belong to us in Christ. We may have to wait before God. We may have to wait before God. But if he's already provided it, we're not waiting on God. Let me say it again. I don't know whether you got this. Some of you are like, huh? You're looking like calves in a new gate. Tilt. We may have to wait before God, in his presence, in his word, but we're not waiting on God. There's a difference between waiting on God and waiting before God. You see, everything that he said, when he said from the cross, it is finished. He meant everything that you would ever come across, everything that you would ever deal with, every circumstance, every challenge, on that day, at that moment, he completed the work. We're not waiting on him to do it. We're waiting before him to receive it. We're waiting to receive what he's already done. That's why when you read the scripture, forget not all his benefits. I'm not going to have time. This is just a few minutes, but he said, who forgives? This is a benefit. He forgives all my iniquities. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. He forgives all my iniquities. Jesus forgives us of our sin. He forgets them. Jeremiah tells me he forgets my sin. It's not a man like us that remembers, he forgets. Our benefit is that Jesus forgives and forgets. He doesn't hold against us our past. He doesn't hold us in bondage to where we've been. He only looks to where we are and where we're going. How many know God's got a great future for you? Yes. Just yell it out. God has a great future for me. He forgives me of all, not some. All my iniquities. Who healeth all. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives me of all. When you come to Jesus, not one thing remains. Not one. And he heals all my diseases. All of them, not some. He heals all my diseases. Say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't know, I've got shingles right now. I'm sitting in here right now with a, that doesn't matter. By Jesus' stripes. Somebody say, we are healed. Who heals all our diseases. Who redeems my life from destruction. Who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is restored like the eagles. Let me just read it in one more translation so you'll get it. Listen to this. This is what it says in an amplified translation. It says, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deepest within me. Bless his holy name. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Who forgives every one of all your iniquities. Who heals every one of all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and corruption. Who beautifies and dignifies and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who will satisfy your mouth with your necessities and desires at your personal age and situation. With good so that your youth is renewed. It is like the eagle, strong, overcoming, and soaring. See, you didn't get saved to have less. When you got saved, you got more. You got more. He said, and forget not all his benefits.